You are listening to the FlowRadioNetwork.com podcast.
It's Wednesday. Get ready for your midweek push. It's time to get into the Word with Pastor Tabitha. It's Wednesday Word.
Hey, this is Pastor Tabitha.
Dr. Rhonda Sneed.
We want to just say we're so excited that you're giving us an opportunity to connect with you on Let's Talk About It.
Yes,
and we want to make sure that if you miss an episode of Let's Talk About It, that you can just go. You don't have to be in the know. No, I didn't know. Now you know. Go and get the show. We're on podcast. You can go to iTunes or Google Play. And you can also
go to flowondemand.com.
There you go. There's no reason for you not to
be talking about it.
We look to see you. And join us on Thursdays
with Let's Talk About It.
7 o'clock p.m.
Central Standard Time.
There we go. Great day to you. I'm Pastor Tabitha. So excited to be right here with you on Wednesday for your word. Listen, Matthew 4:4 tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. I believe right now you're about to receive what you need to make it through the rest of this week. I love you in Jesus. Hey, let's get ready. It's Wednesday Word. Isaiah chapter 54. I'd like to read to you two verses. I think I'm going to talk about Isaiah 54 for a little bit. Today I want to start with verses 16 and 17. And I would like for you to make sure that you are here so that you can receive all of what God has to say. Somebody shout amen. Amen. The word of the Lord this morning again in Isaiah chapter 54, that's Old Testament. If you can get to Psalms, then you can get to Proverbs, and you can get to Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon, then I promise you, you can get to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54, beginning at verse 16. I want to read 16 and 17, and today I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. The word of the Lord reads from verse 16, behold, somebody shout behold. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coal in the fire, who brings forth an instrument of his work, and I, somebody shout, I have created the spoiler to destroy. Here's 17. Everybody likes 17. It says, no weapon formed against you. Why don't you go on and prophesy to your neighbor? Say, no weapon formed against you. One more time. Look at your other neighbor. Say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Lord, we thank you right now for your word. I pray, God, that we would be hearers, that we would heed it. And then I thank you now that we will have what your word has just expressed that we shall have. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to talk a little bit about grace. Somebody shout grace. I want to talk a little bit about grace. There is no sense in being here in this fifth month and not talk about what grace is in the believer's life. One more time. I don't think it's by accident that we have made it where we are in time. Everything that God does on purpose. Somebody shout on purpose. And so when we understand in time, we're in the fifth month, five represents grace. And so I don't believe it's by chance we are in a place of grace without God wanting us to understand where we really are. And when we look at this particular passage of scripture, usually when we ask about somebody's favorite passage of scripture, somebody's going to give the grace text. I call this a grace. Somebody shout, it's a grace text. It's a grace text. It's a grace text, not because of just the text, but because of the context of the text. When we say context, we're speaking of those situations and circumstances surrounding what's being said. Sometimes we'll miss the forest for the trees. One more time. Sometimes we're so familiar with where we are and what it is we're looking at that we'll miss that there's more to this picture than just what we're looking at. Tell your neighbor, there's so much more to this text. This is a grace text. But the thing that makes this a grace text is not just the truth that's being conveyed. conveyed. It is the context in which the truth is being conveyed. Somebody shout grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We've heard that all of our lives, but we've not yet really understood. When we say grace is God's unmerited favor, we're just saying that grace is God's goodness that we do nothing to deserve. Tell your neighbor, you don't deserve the grace. Oh, one more time. You never deserve God's grace. Isaiah himself says, our righteousness is but as a filthy rag. So that means that we're never doing something so good to receive or to deserve the good that God has given us. That's why the Bible declares in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath do what's right to do, because you know something right about what you got to do with it. Listen what we say, inhale. Exhale. That's the ability to breathe. And none of us have lived so well, y'all don't want to talk to me, that we deserve God's breath going in and then coming out of our lungs. And so if you're able to in and exhale, somebody shout out a praise God, because that's a resemblance of grace in my life. And when I look at this text, it is a place of grace. It is a place of grace. And most of us like to shout about saying no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because we understand that what it is doing, it is telling us that things are going to be all right. Somebody shout. It's the text that speaks to our right now situation. It says, listen, calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Can I give a word to somebody today that may be in a contextual situation that I need to send a truth to penetrate where you're standing right now? God is saying, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Somebody shout, calm down. It's going to be all right. Not just it's going to be all right, but the text says it's already. Y'all don't want to talk to me. All right. If the text says no weapon formed, that means whenever it's formed, it's going to always be. Somebody shout, all right. So calm down, because we understand that I have a text to deal with my context. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I've got something to deal with my circumstance or my situation. I have, somebody shout, I got grace. And see, grace doesn't really excite people until they understand that they're really in a situation where they don't deserve it. And when we deal contextually with this text, the thing that excites these Israelites is that God is speaking to them about something good for them in a place at a time when they've not been good towards God. Here we are in Isaiah 54, understanding it is a time where the children of Israel are in captivity because of their idolatry and their rebellion against God. I don't have a whole lot of time, but they're locked up. They're in a bad place. Their land is desolate. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Let me show you real quickly about how their situation has gone to be what it is right here. Isaiah chapter 1. I think it's important, again, for us to see that sometimes you don't get excited about grace until you get to a place where grace is all you got. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And what does that mean? When you're down to nothing and God comes and makes sure you understand you have everything that you need, that's when you get excited about grace. Nobody that's able to pay their bills and nobody that has their body situated and functioning as it should, nobody gets excited about grace in those places. But it is when there is no hope and there's no light and there's no help that you get excited to know that God's grace meets me right there in those kind of situations. I could get excited and just go and preach right out of here right there, because I know a God that looks beyond my faults. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I know a God that loves me and no matter where I am has made a promise that he'll never leave me. Somebody shout, that's grace. Oh, that's goodness right there. That's grace that only God has to extend, because some of us won't go some places. Some of us will act funny if certain things go on. But God says, I won't ever leave you, and I ain't never going to forsake you. And listen, and no one with a weapon formed against you is going to ever prosper. Somebody shout, that's grace. So here is Isaiah speaking to these children that are in captivity. And he's saying, it's all right. It's all right. Can I speak to somebody that got a captive situation in your life? I want to just say to you, God is saying, it's all right. One more time. Somebody that doesn't have enough money to pay your bills. Somebody that's got a stressed relationship. Somebody's got a sickness that don't look good. Somebody got a circumstance that you don't understand how you're going to work yourself out of it. God came today to tell you you're in a place of grace, and I'm saying it's all right. Somebody shout, I ain't talking about what my mama said, what my daddy said. I'm talking about what my creator said. Somebody shout, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's good news in a bad place. Here's where they are. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. When you look at verse 2, Isaiah is saying that here's what the Lord is saying. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Listen what the Lord says. He says, I have nourished and brought up children. Look at this next line. It says, and they have what? They have rebelled against who? Against me. Ain't that something? Ain't it something to know that God is saying, listen, I have been good to you. Listen, I have brought you out of your impoverishment. I brought you out of your sickness. I brought you out of that depression. I brought you out of that sadness. And the one thing that you do to repay me is you have what? Rebelled against me. That ain't all you did. Go to verse 4. It says, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, abroad of evildoers, children who are corruptors. Here we go. They have what? Forsaken the Lord. So not only have you rebelled. Rebelled is bad. Rebelled means when God said no, you did it anyway. Rebelled means when God said stop, you acted as if it was a green light that says go. When God said come, you said no. When whatever it is God told you to do, you went against it. And you know God says rebellion is like witchcraft. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Witchcraft. So wherever rebellion is set up, it's an evil thing with God. Wherever we don't follow what God has instructed for us, then God considers it as witchcraft, as a work that's going directly against the work that he's intended in the earth realm. Not only have they rebelled, but the Lord says that they've done what? They have forsaken. Oh God, they've forsaken the Lord. Forsake means this. Forsake is not just leave. Leave is one thing, but forsake is another. Leave is to not be here with me. Forsake is to leave me in your mind. Because you do know that I can walk off from you, but I still got you on my mind. Y'all don't want to talk to me. That's why God doesn't say, I'm not just going to never leave you. He says, but I'm never going to forsake you, which means I'm not going to ever be apart from you. And even in the times that you think I am, I'm never going to allow you to part from my mindset. Somebody shout, that's the kind of God you need in your life. You need a God that's not going to leave you and one that won't forsake you. But here are the people that's doing very opposite of their God. They've rebelled, and then the Lord said they've forsaken him. And then listen at what happens. He says they have provoked to what? To anger the Holy One of Israel. They have what? Turned away backwards. Can I talk to somebody that has rebelled against God, to somebody that is has forsaken the Lord? Can I tell you the truth? Can I give you a revelation about your situation? Maybe one that you've not even been able to make a determination on. The Bible says that when you do that, what you do is you've turned and you're going backwards. Tell your neighbor what that really means is you're going in circles. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You can't leave God and not go around and around and around. Luther sang a song, you got me going in circles. But I want to tell Luther that the only reason she got you going in circles is because you left God to be with her. If you would have stayed with God, you and her could have kept going forward, kept going upward. But anytime you leave God for anything, it's got you going in circles. Somebody shout, it's a backward, downward spiral. It ain't never upward. And that's why you got to be careful here. Because God is saying here, the reason that you are in captivity is because of your idolatry. Idolatry. Nobody talks about idolatry anymore. That thing that you put in God's place. The thing that should be third, fourth, fifth. You got it in first place. Lord have mercy. One of the first commandments that the Lord gives when he gives the commandments to his children is you shall have no other God Come on, before me. Don't put nothing before me. He doesn't say any other person. He says no other God. Because we can make a God out of anything. We can make our jobs a God. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You can make your vehicle a God. You can make your body a God. You can make somebody a God. And so what you'll do when you swipe God out, what you do is you start having loyalties that keep you from being linked like you should to the Lord. I'm trying to help us now, because this is the thing that gets us caught up in captivity. In captivity, don't have to be a chain. It don't have to be a rope. It can be an addiction. It can be a habit. It can be a propensity to a particular kind of activity. It's something that causes you not to have freedom. And idolatry always ends you up in captivity. Whenever I begin to worship anything in the place that God is deserving and desiring to be, things are not going to go well. Here's what happens. Here's this idea of worshiping and this loyalty. Worship is the way that my life shows that something is worth something to me. So if God is not the thing that my life shows is first thing to me, that means I got something else that I'm saying means more to me. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Sometimes it could be making more money. And I know we're just trying to take care of our families. But God is saying, if you're not careful, the very thing that you are doing to make life better would be the thing that will cause life to be bad. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Every now and then you've been lonely, and so you ain't had nobody, and so now somebody's winking at you, calling your name. And so on the days that you would spend with the Lord, now you got to spend with the person that don't mean nothing, don't care nothing about you, ain't got, can we tell the whole truth, ain't got nothing to give you. Y'all don't want to talk to me. But you've exchanged the Lord for this. Mm-hmm. And you can't figure out what's going on. Y'all don't want to talk to me. God gives you a job, and God allows you. God gave you the job. Why you say God gave you the job? You know you ain't qualified. You know you don't have the education. You know you shouldn't have even, you didn't even fill out the application right. But in spite of that, God gives you the job. And now all of a sudden, the job becomes more important than the God who gave you the job. Somebody shout, get those idols out. When you put idols in, then you move God out. And what happens when idols are in first place, then it causes us to be out of our place, out of the place that God designed for our lives, out of the place that God has designed for our lives. And God has always designed a wealthy place for our lives. So I'm talking to you. I don't care who you be. If you're not in a wealthy place, I'm not talking about got a whole lot of money, but I'm talking about a whole lot of peace. I'm talking about a whole lot of joy. That means you're out of your place. And if you're out of your place, I'm bad enough to tell you it's probably because you moved God out of his place. Somebody shout, remove the idol and get God back first place. Here's a woman, the widow in Zarephath. The Bible says, when you keep God first, Minister DJ mentioned it about giving our tithes and our offering. She said, when you keep God first, then God will make sure that you won't come last. The prophet Elijah went to a widow that only had a little bit of meal. In fact, she only had a little bit to eat now and die. And the prophet came and said, listen, if you would take care of God's stuff first, y'all don't talk. If you would put God first, y'all don't want to talk to me. If you would take, don't worry about your business, because your business is really God's business. But if you would do God's business, then God would do your business. If you would make me a cake first, he said, here's what I promise you. Your meal ain't going to run out. And as long as this famine goes, you and your family going to have something to eat. I want to tell somebody, the reason you and your family ain't got nothing to eat is because you've been eating first. But if you would make sure that God eats first, God will make sure you always eat in spite of what's going on. Somebody shout, you can trust God. So here these people are in a situation where they didn't trust God, where they didn't do what God wanted them to do, where they're not having what God wanted for them to have. And right there, here comes grace. Lord have mercy. That's what I love about God, and that's what I love about his grace, is because it shows up in the places that you don't expect for it to show up. In fact, that's what makes grace grace, because here it is. You would think if somebody does not do what you told them to do, somebody does not go where you told them to go, somebody does not honor you in the way that you ought to be honored, the last thing they can expect from you is anything from you. But right here in this captive place, here comes God saying, it's all right. I got you covered. I'm talking about grace coming to your house. See, grace is grace when it finds you in the grip place. God, grace is always there, but grace is not always appreciated because our times are not always gritty. Our times are not always grieved. Our times are not always stressed. But when we find ourselves in those places, that's when grace shines the brightest. And these children of Israel are in a very black, dark, negative, dry place, and grace shows up and says everything's gonna be all right. Somebody shout, everything's gonna be all right. No, everything is all right. God is saying, I know that you're in a bad place. I know that you got people beating up on you. I know you got oppression. I know that you lost some things. He says, but I want to tell you something. Somebody shout, it's all right. It's all right. God is saying, it's all right because here we go, because I'm in control. Tell your neighbor, the only reason that I take any confidence in my calamity is because I know who's in control. Somebody shout, God is in control. Listen what happens here. Before we shout about 17, you got to get clear in verse 16. Verse 16 says, listen, he says, behold, he says, I want you to see something. Behold means look at, see, it's manifested. It's not just something in your mouth. It's not memorex. It's not something, it's not imagination. It's a realization. Somebody shout, behold. It's like, behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, you can see this. Oh, come on. He says, now behold the Lamb of God. He's saying, this is not just a figment of my imagination. It's a reality in manifestation. You can see this. Somebody shout, you can see this. God says, I want you to see this. See what, God? You see the blacksmith? Who is the blacksmith? The blacksmith is the individual that is designing, building, molding the weapon. The blacksmith is he who works with the coals that sticks the iron in the fire. And what the blacksmith does is puts this piece of metal in the fire and blows it so that he's able to manipulate its form. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And every now and then we have people in our lives that are putting things in the fire. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And blowing on things and causing things to be manipulated for destruction. Tell your neighbor, I got a blacksmith. Y'all. I got a blacksmith throwing some stuff in the fire, putting some things in, trying to carve some things to come out a certain kind of way. But God says, don't even be tripping that, because I created the blacksmith. I created the blacksmith. He who blows the coals in the fire and it comes out as the weapon. He says, I control, I created the blacksmith. And then he says, and I created the spoiler. What he's saying is the things that come up, nothing is out of my control. That's what God's trying to tell you. He's saying nothing, lies, bullets, none of those things are out of my control. Here's where we go. We go back to Psalms 24. It says the earth is the Lord. Ain't nothing here that God is not in control of, that God is not the institutor of, that God does not use for his overall good. Somebody shout, God is in this. Sometimes God will use a blacksmith to get me back on track. Y'all don't want to talk to me. God will use a weapon, y'all don't want to talk to me, to wound me, but to get my walk like it ought to be. Somebody shout, God is in control. So when I figure out, he says first, remember that I'm in control. This blacksmith that's creating the weapon and then the end result that comes from the weapon. He says, I created the blacksmith and then I created the spoiler. But guess what he says? The spoiler that comes to what? To destroy. God says the spoiler that comes to destroy. God says, I want you to know that I'm in control. So when you understand that whatever it is that's coming against you to destroy, whatever it is that it's coming against you to destroy, I am, somebody shout, I'm in control. Oh, come on, I'm in control. And the Bible says that when you know that I'm in control, then you can rejoice wherever you are because you understand. It don't matter what comes up. It don't matter what I got to deal with. Somebody shout, it ain't going to prosper. It won't prosper what? It won't prosper to accomplish what it intended end is, but it will accomplish what God's intended end. Come on, come on, come on. I'm not saying that you're not going to be shot, because you may get shot, but I am saying that you're not going to get killed. You're going to get life in you. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I'm not saying that you won't get hurt, but I am telling you that the hurt is going to help you. Somebody shout, no weapon formed shall prosper. Listen, he's saying it may come up. They may have an end result, but I got something in mind that they don't even have the knowledge of. I like to tell my enemy, God just used you. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You ain't did nothing. God just got you doing what God needs to get out of me. Follow me out here if you want to. The children of Israel running from Pharaoh in Egypt, and the children, Pharaoh believed that they've trapped the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And so God allows them to run them to the Red Sea. The Egyptians on their mind is running them to the Red Sea because they're going to be blocked in. And God let them chase them from all the way from where they were to get to the Red Sea. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And just when the enemy chased them to the Red Sea, God opens up the Red Sea. And here go your stupid enemy. Your stupid enemy don't understand that God is just using them to get you to a place, to get you through a place. And so what your enemy does is follows you through the in the Red Sea. But what they don't know is what God is using to deliver me, he's using to destroy you. Somebody shout, follow me if you want to. Ain't nobody scared. So God is saying to remind us today that grace is here. Wherever here is, if you've messed up, this is the best message that you can have. If you are messed up, y'all don't want to talk to me. If you did it or if you are it, God is saying grace is here for you. God is saying my goodness has come to be good to you. My kindness has come to deliver you, not because you deserve it, but because I desire this for you. Oh, God. And so here he said, listen, I want you to understand, number one, my unconditional love for you, my affection, my unfailing affection. Oh, God, even in a bad place, God doesn't change his mind. Somebody ought to just shout, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, God is not like our friends and our foes. God is not like those who, as long as you up, you ain't got to worry about having nobody around, because your house, your phone going to ring, your house going to stay full, and people going to be around. But as soon as things go low, people will leave you. Y'all don't want to talk to me. If you ever really want to know who's really with you, just wait and watch when things get low. That's when you know who's really with you. That's when you know who's really on your side. And God is saying, I want you to know you're in a bad place. You're in the lowest of low. But guess what? I'm still right here with you. If you don't get any other message today, remember that my love is unconditional. I heard him talking on the talk show the other day saying, you know, unconditional love is only for children and somebody. It's not a real concept that can be applied to life. I'm like, that is an absolute lie. Because what we're teaching you then when we start talking about love is conditional, or it only applies to certain people, it's all hinged upon your feelings. It's all hinged upon you. But the Bible teaches us love in a different kind of way. He teaches us love with a firm commitment. Y'all don't want to talk to me. So if I made a commitment to love you that goes outside of my feelings, you can make me mad as hell, but I'm still... y'all. Because love is not about my feelings. Love is about my commitment. It's a firm commitment that's not altered because there is a flaw or some kind of incident. Love, not like, not lust, love. It's unfailing. In fact, the Bible says love will never fail. Y'all don't talk to me. Because love is not hinged upon something that's not solid. Love never, somebody should never fail. So God is saying, I want you to see my unprecedented love, my unfailing affection, my love for you. But then I want to make sure that you see my authority, that I am Lord, that I'm in control. And even where you are, I am still, I'm guiding, I'm working with what's going on. Somebody shout right now. And so since God is in control, And since grace is here, what is God saying to us when he says things like, I created the blacksmith and I created the spoiler and no weapon formed against you shall prosper? What he's saying is take confidence in whatever your calamity is. Can I help you now? Don't let the enemy get you down. Don't let the enemy ride you. Don't let him cause you to be sad. Don't let him to lie to you, because the devil is a liar. This too shall pass. If God be for us, oh, come on, talk to me. And somebody shouting, God's on my side. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Now, I don't know who else is on my side, but I can say God is on my side. And so God is saying, since I'm on your side, take confidence in your calamity. Tell your neighbor, say, take some confidence. Take some confidence. That confidence means take pride. Take strength. Be sure of God's love in your place that's not necessarily high, but it may be low. Somebody shall take some confidence. Yeah, confidence in my calamity. What else is he saying that he wants me to do? He wants for me to also be certain of the conclusion. When I take confidence, then I know what the conclusion is going to be. It don't matter. They sang a song, ain't no need to worry what the night is going to bring. Listen, it'll be all over. Uh-huh. Listen what it says. One more time, it says, ain't no need to worry what the night is gonna bring. Listen, because here's my conclusion. It'll be all over. When? In the morning. All right, so God is saying, listen, be certain of the conclusion. This is not going to destroy you. Hey, I really want to say thank you for spending your lunch break or just your time period with us today here on Wednesday Word. I do pray that the Lord has released something in your life that will cause you to live on purpose. Listen, I'd love to hear from you. If you're plugged in, tuned in, listening, or wherever you're listening from, would you just let us know? You can reach me on Facebook, Tabitha C. Whitten Ministries, or you can just drop me a line at my website, pastortab.org. Or feel free to just reach out right here on flowradionetwork.com to say, listen, I received the word and I believe the word is releasing me. I believe that together we can do some great things for the kingdom's agenda. And by chance, if you're ever in the Houston area, I would love to meet you personally right here at Remnant Fellowship Church, 8550 Guinevere, 10 o'clock a.m. on Sundays. If you think the word is enriching on radio, I want to tell you it is something phenomenal in person. So why don't you make it a point to visit us? I'd love to meet you between now and then for certain. Next week we'll meet again on Wednesday Word right here on flowradionetwork.com.
Thank you for listening to the flowradionetwork.com podcast. Be sure to listen live online at flowradionetwork.com or via tunein.com or the TuneIn app. Just search for Flow Radio Network. That's FLORadionetwork.com. Click on the orange Flow Radio logo and get into the flow.